And we'll do a bit of a review, starting with truth number one, the problem of sin. The problem of sin. Alright, the problem of sin basically deals with these 4 points to tell the person that sin is a universal problem. It's a worldwide problem. Whatever language, race, religion, you have this problem. Right? And what is sin? It is a transgression. It is the breaking. It is the crossing the line of God's law. And God's law, as we know it, is being broken every minute, regularly. And the point is that we all have sin. Everyone. Alright? So that's the first truth, the problem of sin. Then you should also bring forward the point that because God's standard is perfection and all of us have sinned, so none of us, nobody can make it to heaven by himself or herself, no one. Alright? Second truth, the penalty for sin, the penalty for sin. And because we have the problem of sin, there is a payment, there is a penalty, right? And that is just right. That is just right, because it's sin need to be judged. It's just justice for it to be so. Then you go on to describe what judgment really is. Judgment is talking about hell, everlasting fire, fire eternal, fire unquenchable, second death. That is hell. A lot of people like to think that once you die, that's it. That's the end. Right? You just poof and then you disappear. I mean, if that's the case, then it's good. If that's the case for those of us who want to live life the way they want to, there's nobody to be accountable to, then that's great. And a lot of time people like to think that way is mostly people who wants to live the life the way they want it, because they want to think that there's nobody that they need to be accountable to, right? But that's not the case. There is judgment, there is hell, and there's judgment there because it is just necessary. It's necessary because our God is a holy and just God, so therefore he must judge sin. And who are those that God will judge? And remember, we went through Revelation 21 verse 8, different sinners, and then finally we come to the one that just about categorized everybody, include everybody, and that is the sin of lying. All liars. And up to when you finish these two truths, it'll be good to pause and bring across to that person that so far the two truths are bad news. Right? Number one, you are a sinner. Number two, because of your sin, you deserve to go to hell. Those are indeed bad news. So you ask the person if he has acknowledged that he's a sinner, understood and agreed that he's a sinner. Ask him that if you were to die right now, according to the Bible, according to what we have just went through, where would you go? Where would you go? Let him think through, let him pause, let him ask questions if need be, but stay with the two truths, the problem of sin and the penalty for sin. And then hopefully he will come to understand that he will go to hell. And ask him, are you concerned? And hopefully he is concerned. And then that will bring us to the third truth, which is the good news. Which is the good news. The third truth is payment of sin. Whose sin? Our sin, of course. Payment of our sin. Okay, every little movement is very careful. Alright? So, we want to touch on to bring across to that person again that although God is holy and just and must punish sin, yet he loves us. He loves us, and we will see in a moment how he loves us. But we want to bring it across to the prospect that God is both truth and love. God is both truth and love. Because a lot of people like to say if God loves us, then he won't need to send anybody to hell. No. Because God is love as well as truth. And because he's truth, He needs to judge sin. So how did God show His love? How did God show His love? That brings us to the second point. The first point, is meaning of the gospel. Meaning of the gospel, which is good news. Meaning of the gospel, which is good news. Right? So for payment of sin, we want to bring the person to the gospel, and the meaning of gospel is good news. Secondly, we want to talk about the motive. The motive for the gospel, which is love. Love. Love is the motive for the gospel. It's not that, have you ever heard before the question, why does God want to save man? Yeah? Have you ever heard the answer that because God needs company? No? I've heard before. I think I ever thought that was the truth. Because God needs company. No. Because God loves us. God loves us. That was the motive for the gospel. And we look at Romans chapter 5 verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then again, actually I was thinking not to show any slides today. I wanted you all to go through the experience, the motion of opening up your Bible, your handphone, and then turn to the page, the slide, and then show the person. But anyway, so assuming that you are at a verse, explain to that person, but God commendeth His love. What is the meaning? What's the meaning of the word commendeth? The word commendeth could mean demonstrate. God demonstrated His love. And the idea is how God focused His love on us. Alright? But God demonstrated His love toward us. But God focused His love on us. In that, while we were yet sinners. Who's that? That's us. That's Him, the person. Alright? God's love for us was so great that while we were yet sinners, not that when we were good enough, then Christ died for us. No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right? Remember Jesus Christ said He came for the sinners. He didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for those who doesn't need to be healed. Right? He comes for those who need to be healed. While we were yet unrighteous and not good, Christ came and died for us. That is how much He loves us. So God proved His love by providing a just way for us, for our sins to be forgiven and for us to be able to go to heaven when we die. And this is through the sacrifice of His own Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. Okay? So, that is the second point on motive of the gospel, which is love. Now, next point, since we started talking about Jesus Christ, we want to introduce more of Jesus Christ to that person. We want to talk more about Jesus Christ. Now, who would you say Jesus Christ is? So we go to the next point, maker of the gospel, M-A-K-E-R, maker of the gospel, who is Christ. We look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, a very familiar verse that we often look at during Christmas time. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So we explain who Christ is. Christ is not just a human. Christ is not just a religious, in fact, he is not a religious teacher. Christ is not a CEO, we will see in the popular bookshop. Right? Christ is God. God in the human flesh. Jesus is God. That is the emphasis here. You want to bring it across to that person that the one who can save you, the one that I'm introducing to you right now, is God, Jesus Christ. And up to this point, we have come to the we are coming to the most important part of the good news. And the most important part of the good news is, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? And there we come to the message of the gospel. We want to talk about, first of all, Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. How do we know that He died for our sins? Because He was buried, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that He was buried. He was buried. Right? Do you bury a person that is alive? No. You only bury a person that is dead. So, Christ died. He died. He died for our sin, and He was buried. What did He accomplish by dying? Christ paid the judgment. Judgment we deserve to pay. Christ paid the judgment we deserve to pay. Right? For that, we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. The word tree is just another description for the cross. And the word bear, B-A-R-E, has the literal sense of offering up Himself. That is, Jesus Christ offered up His own body for Christ, who His own self offered up His own body as a sin offering for our sin. That's what 1 Peter 2:24 means. Alright? So, we want to present to the person that Jesus Christ died. He died by offering Himself. Why did He die? He died so as to offer Himself as a sin offering for our sin. Alright? So that we don't have to die. So that, because He died for us. Another verse that we can bring the person to as we talk about Jesus Christ having paid the judgment that we deserve is a verse that I learned in the first soul winning program called Continuing Witnessing Training. It's Isaiah 53 verse 6. Isaiah 53 verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. This verse tells us that, once again, that we all have wandered away from God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Right? We have turned, every one of us have turned to his own way. Meaning to say, we have turned our back on God. Instead of facing God, we turn away from Him. We all have done so. Notwithstanding our rebellion and our willful heart, God, in His mercy and grace, laid the burden of our sin on His Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord hath laid on Him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. In CWT, I learned an illustration. I think in your book, in your note, is called the black book illustration. The black book illustration. And sometimes it's good to use an illustration, because that person that you're sharing Christ with could have never heard of Christianity before, could have never heard of Jesus Christ before. So the concept of sin, justification, all this could be very unfamiliar to him. So in this Isaiah 53 verse 6, I've learned an illustration, which if you have something black, maybe a black iPhone or black Bible or whatever, something black. Why black? Because you want to tell that person that, imagine this thing is all your sin. All your sin, as black as can be. Alright? So I have it here, all your sin. So Isaiah 53 verse 6 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. Oh, sorry, one more thing. And this is Jesus Christ. Alright? Jesus Christ over here, all your sin over here. So all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, as you say, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So you're showing that the Lord have laid all your sin, that the Lord have laid on Him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Alright? So that's just one way to present that Christ paid the judgment we deserve to pay. Now, not only did Jesus Christ pay the judgment we deserve to pay, His work is also complete. His work is also complete. That is point number two. And I would usually tell the person that, you know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the last three words according to the Bible that He said is, "It is finished. It is finished." And according to John chapter 13, verse 90, that is what the Bible says. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Right? It is finished, you might have heard of it before, comes from the Greek word called tetelestai. Alright? Tetelestai, meaning to say Jesus finished the work His Father had given Him to do. But more than that, tetelestai is used as an idiom during those days, and we refer to a completed financial transaction. Completed financial transaction. And it is when the final payment, imagine that you purchase something by installment, by your HDB house, right? And then the final payment is made. The account is settled. The account has been paid in full, and that is tetelestai. Alright? So, likewise, Jesus has paid everything for us. What has He paid? He has finished the payment for our sin by dying on the cross for us, using His body, right, to as a sin offering. And because it is finished, is there anything left for you to finish, to make up, to pay the rest? No, because it is finished. Absolutely not. Nothing else. He paid it all. Right? But there's one more question. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin." I might have tackled this earlier in the first truth, but no harm asking again. The question here, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So some people might wonder, past sin, that's easy to understand because I've already committed the sin and Jesus Christ died and then I'm forgiven. How about present sin and future sin? How about present sin and future sin which I have not committed? Would those sins be forgiven as well? Because the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So the way, I mean, technically it is a bit bewildering, right? But it is not really that difficult. One, you might have other answers, but one of the answers that I learned is that tell the person, when did Jesus Christ die? It's about 2,000 years ago. So when He died on the cross, every of your sin is considered, from that point of view, future, right? So that sort of like immediately answer the question, right? Everything is future 2,000 years ago, right? So there's no like past, present, future and that kind of thing. No, it's all forgiven. It's all have been forgiven, all settled. Okay? So Christ's work is complete. He has paid the judgment we deserve to pay. And not only does Jesus pay our sin debt, but also His righteousness is credited to our account. I want to be honest with you. For some years, when I share the salvation plan, I always stop short of this point. I always share about that you are a sinner, you deserve to go to hell, Jesus died for you, and done. Jesus died. I always miss this one that talks about that Christ's righteousness is credited to our account. Right? But we must talk about this one. This is very important as well. So not only did Jesus Christ pay for our sin debt, His righteousness is credited to our account. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Christ's righteousness is credited to our account. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Alright? Meaning to say, for God hath made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So Jesus had the iniquity of us all, remember, laid on Him. And by that, we are justified as righteous. Why is this point important? Let me give you an analogy, which is called the debt credit analogy. You might have heard of it before, but it goes like this. Imagine that you are heavily in debt, a debt that you cannot repay on your own. How much would that be? A debt that you cannot repay on your own.
5 million.
Oh, 5 million. So I know you guys are very rich, right? So 4 million you can pay on your own, right? Anyway, 5 million loan, alright? No way you could pay on your own. But someone came along, right? Someone, a billionaire came along and said, okay, this is 5 million. Go and pay the bank. So great, you're happy, you go to the bank, you pay, and you clear your debt, right? Zero, no more debt. Now, what are you? You're debt free, but you are also poor. Zero, got not. Right? So that's quite bad too, right? So the millionaire say, don't worry, this is another 5 million. That is what this debt credit analogy is about, is to help us see that when we were loaded with our sin debt, a debt that we could never repay, Jesus Christ came along. He said, I die for you. And then our sin debt is clear. But what does that make us? Just make us debt free, right? But that's not good enough. Jesus Christ said, let me give you my coat of righteousness on you, such that when God looked down from heaven, He no longer see a sinner. He sees someone that has been declared righteous. Someone that has been justified as righteous. Not someone that is made righteous, as we are always told. Because we're still sinners. Right? We're still sinners. But we have been justified righteous. We have been declared righteous. So I find this analogy very helpful. Very helpful in helping someone to understand what would go through him if he accept Jesus Christ as his personal savior. Okay? So that we have talked about Christ paid the judgment we deserve to pay, and the payment is complete. And not only that, Jesus Christ put His righteousness on us. It is credited to our account. Now we come to the second part of the message, which is that Jesus Christ rose again. Jesus Christ rose again. Now this is also a very, very important truth. Because if you were like me in the past, who stopped at the point where without saying that the righteousness is credited on Christ, and not to mention the resurrection of Christ, you miss out a couple of very important truths. Right? So for that we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 4 and following. Christ rose again, He was seen, where we read, He rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and of me, Paul, also. Right? The significance of Christ's resurrection is this. I put that down in your notes because it's very important. Why? What's so important about Jesus Christ resurrecting from the dead? Other than a proof that he is God. It is important because when he arose from the dead, he actually conquered death. First victory. Since death is the penalty of sin, he conquered sin. And since the second death is the ultimate penalty, which is hell, he conquered hell. That's why we always say, Jesus Christ saved us from sin, death, and hell, which is what the Bible says. The dominion of sin from death no longer has sting on the sting of death no longer works on us. And hell, we are free from hell. We are saved from sin, death, and hell. Okay? So, you probably realize that this third truth is slightly longer than the first and second truth. Because this is just a very brief summary of this truth. There's actually so much more to talk about. Justification, propitiation, and that kind of thing. Those things. Right? But this is just a short summary of the payment for our sin. Then at this point, it is also important to make that person realize. Because so far, you have talked much about good news. You talked about Jesus Christ dying for your sin, and that person might be thinking, oh great, I'm safe because Jesus Christ has died for me. But you need to tell him, in light of this good news, does it mean that everyone is safe? No. So far, we have investigated three truths, and truth demands an action. Truth demands a decision. That's why a lot of time we want to know the truth. We want to know the truth. Tell me. But do you know that truth demands a decision? The more things you know, the more responsibility you have. So truth demands a decision. And what do this truth demand? Alright? It demands a decision from you. And that's what we will talk about next week, which is a decision of faith and repentance. A decision of faith and repentance. So that's all for tonight. We've covered the three truths smoothly. So next week, join us again for a decision of faith and repentance.